Good morning, everybody. Certainly good to be here. It's good to have visitors with us today. God has truly blessed us. We have so much to be thankful for. We need to be mindful of those that are unable to be here this morning because of sickness and those that are traveling, and pray that we might all be together again soon. If you haven't opened your Bibles, please open them to the book of Malachi. If you aren't familiar with that, the easiest way to find it is to turn to Matthew and then turn back a page, because it's the last page in the Old Testament. And this morning I want us to look at a religion of leftovers. And in Malachi chapter 1, beginning at verse 6, Malachi says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name?" Now, Malachi, he uses some very strong word pictures here. A father and a son, a master and a servant. A son honors his father, a servant his master. In verse 7, "You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? The things that you are offering to me, try doing that with your governor. See if he is going to accept them. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would kindle the fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts." Those are sad words. "I have no pleasure in you, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. From the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." So he's telling his people, the Israelites, the Jews, "I have no pleasure in you because of what you are offering to me in worship. But from the rising of the sun even to its going down, all the time my name shall be great." And Malachi is prophesying here too that God's blessings are going to go to the Gentiles. "In every place incense shall be offered in my name." Verse 12, "But you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord?" And he says, "My name is to be feared among the nations." God is God. We cannot offer God just anything that we want to. And so many people practice a religion of leftovers. Now, leftovers. I like some leftovers. The only thing that I like better than hot pizza is cold pizza the next morning for breakfast. I like leftovers, some leftovers. But if we were to go down to the diner and I ordered a cheeseburger platter and they came back out a minute or two later and there is a half-eaten sandwich and some cold fries and a half a cup of cold coffee, I would be upset by that. I'm not going to take those leftovers. I'm not going to take those. And Malachi shows that God is not content with the leftovers of a man's life that he offers unto God. Whenever our service unto God becomes merely an afterthought, it is unacceptable. you might try to serve God this way or that way, and so many people do that today. You see that by so many different religions, but what they're doing is just offering God a religion of leftovers. Malachi says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. As children of God, the only way that we are going to honor the Father is by giving him what he says he wants us to give him. So let's consider some areas in which people try to give God the leftovers. One of the leftovers that they give God is loyalty. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what are all of these things that he was talking about? He was talking about food and clothing and a roof over our head. We all need those things, but what happens? So many times we get it backwards, and we are out chasing after this and chasing after that, and then our priorities are backwards. They're upside down. We've got to put God first in our life, and he will take care of everything else. We might not have exactly what we want when we want it, but we are going to have what is best for us when we put our loyalty to God first. In Matthew chapter 22, when the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Most people, though, place God far down on their list of priorities. They have deeper loyalties to their job, to some hobby, to some sport, to some TV show. You know, years ago, before there were all kinds of ways of watching whatever you wanted to watch anytime you wanted to, 24 hours a day, people would talk about, oh, I got to get home and watch my favorite TV show. They couldn't miss their favorite TV show. Their whole week revolved around that. But how about the priority we put on Bible study? How about the priority that we put on worshiping God? How about our priority on the first day of the week? So many people, they'd have a place at the lake, and nothing wrong with that, but God has to come first. I had a relative, he would rather spend his weekend at the lake than in worshiping God. His priorities are out of place. A son honors his father and a servant his master. And friends, if God is not first in your life, if he's not first in your life, he's not going to be in your life. Because God demands first place. He will not take second place. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We must be totally committed to serving God. And God tells us he will not accept our offering that is anything less than that. Well, another area where people offer leftovers to God is in time. What is time? Benjamin Franklin was not a philosopher, but he said, time is the stuff life is made of. We all have time. It's our second most precious possession, second only to our soul. But it's precious because of the opportunities that we have with time. We turn to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. when he says, when Paul tells them to watch circumspectly, that means we need to look around about us and see what's going on. We need to be aware. We need to be aware of what is going on. Don't walk as fools, but walk as wise. Redeeming the time. Again, redeeming means to buy back. Can you buy time back? No, once it's spent, you can never get time back. But the idea that he's trying to get across is we have wasted so much of our time in the past. We have wasted so much of our time fulfilling our own fleshly desires. We have wasted so much of our time in bondage to Satan that we can't afford to waste any time going forward. We can't afford to. We've got to redeem the time. We've got to buy it back. We've got to be careful how we spend it. You know, if you had you had your back pockets, your front pockets, your shirt pockets filled with cash, big bills, and you went somewhere and you started spending this pocket and that one and this one and then this one, and you started spending all your money and you got down and you just had a few bills left, you'd be kind of careful how you spent that money, because you were running out of money and you knew you weren't going to get any more money. Well, how do we live our life? We just live it any way we want to live it. We go spending time doing this and spending time doing that. There may not be anything wrong with it, but then we wake up one morning and we think, I don't have much time left. I don't have much time left. How am I going to spend my time? What am I going to do? Just a little bit ago, we sang the song, How Beautiful Heaven Must Be. And it's going to be the most beautiful place that we can ever imagine. But friends, we do not want to spend our time doing things that are going to keep us out of heaven. We want to spend our time preparing ourselves so that we can make it to heaven someday. Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Is this something that comes natural to think about what we do each day? No, we need to be taught and we need to number our days. We need to make an awareness in our minds that each day I'm getting closer to eternity. I'm getting closer to eternity, and what am I doing? It says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And when we have that heart of wisdom, and we get that by reading God's word, then so many of these decisions are so much easier to make. And it just is back like to money. Now, I said you put that money in your pocket, you put that money in a 10-year-old's pocket, and you take him out. And what's he going to do? He's going to start spending money on everything he sees. He's going to spend it, and it's going to be gone. What do you do when you have a child like that? You teach him. You teach him. Be careful how you spend the money. You can't just waste it on everything, because when you waste it, it's going to be gone. And we have to be taught. We need to be instructed. We need to help each other learn. This is a good place to spend some time. Where we are right now this morning, this is a good place to spend some time. We all had choices. We could have been somewhere else. But we need to give God our time. What happens so many times, we are busy spending our time working, eating, sleeping. If we're not careful, that we will spend all of our time on these pursuits, and then we do not have time to give to God. We should make time for worship, for study, for prayer, for teaching, for good works. Make time to spend being with our family. And there are many things of good importance. But we must plan our time. And someone has said, if we do not plan our time, somebody else is going to plan our time for us. And it's good if you're the kind of person in work or in your personal life to make a calendar for your week and just write in, I'm going to do this and do that and do this this week and next week, because if you don't, what's going to happen? You're going to get a call, you're going to get a distraction, you're going to do something that takes up a lot of your time, may not be anything at all wrong with it, but then what happens? When it comes to giving God those things that He deserves with your time, I don't have any time left. And we'll say, I'm sorry, God. And God's going to say, that's not a good excuse. That's not a good answer. He will not accept it. Another leftover that people give to God is money. And you work hard for a living. You have to provide shelter. Probably most of us here have a mortgage we have to pay. We have to buy groceries so we can eat, clothing to wear, and medical expenses. And today, medical expenses might be one of the largest expenses we have, just with the rate of insurance. It costs a lot to live. But if we are not careful, we might spend all of our money and then not have any left for God. We might spend all of our money and then not have any money left to promote the kingdom of God. If we are not careful, we might spend all of our money fulfilling all of our desires and then not have any money left for the desires that God has. So God's portion should come off the top. It should come off first. It should not be the leftovers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the apostle, or 16, the Apostle Paul tells us, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So here we see there's to be some forethought put into it. And we even know which day it's going to be. It's going to be on the first day of the week. That's why we don't take up a collection on Tuesday through Saturday. It's on the first day of the week. It's not a surprise. We set something aside. We plan for it. We prepare for it. As we may prosper, that's proportional. God is not expecting more than what we can do, but He expects if we make more, we give more. That there be no collections when I come. When Paul came to collect that money to take it to Jerusalem, where there is a famine going on in the land, he didn't want it to be an afterthought where they would have to scramble around and come up with some money. God does not want our leftovers. Paul goes on to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You stop and think about what has God given to us. He has given us everything. He's given us our life, our health. He's given us this beautiful day. He's given us opportunities. He's given us our jobs that we have. He's given us a family. And what are we going to give God? Well, let me see. I think I've got some change in my pocket. I'll give this to him. He'll be happy with that. Well, let's turn back to Malachi chapter 3, because you see, these people, they were very selfish, and we live in a very selfish society today, but in Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 7, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So, under the old law, they were to give a tithe. They were to give a tenth. But they weren't doing that. And Malachi tells them, with God speaking, try me. You give what you're supposed to do, and you just try me and see what happens. He says again, Will I not open the windows of heaven and pour out on you for such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it? It goes back to Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. We put God first, make Him the priority, and God is going to take care of us richly. He's going to take care of us richly. We have the example of the poor widow in Mark 12. Mark 12, verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one widow came and threw in two mites. So he called his disciples to them in verse 43, and he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she put in out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." So Jesus was just sitting at the temple across from the treasury, watching people put stuff in as they were going by. And a lot of people would put in a lot, but they had a lot. And this poor widow, what did she put in? She put in two mites, which wasn't worth much at all, but she gave not out of her abundance, but out of her poverty. Do we give God our leftovers? Well, what about a religion of leftover energy? Think about that. Do we give our leftover energy and ability to God? You know, some of us exhaust our energy on everything except God. We go out and it's good whatever we do, to do it wholeheartedly, to give it our best. But we might expend all of our talent, all of our energy on our job, on some hobby, and then have little energy left for God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And you stop and think about this. We are to be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You want to give somebody your all, but have you ever had jobs where you gave them everything? You gave them everything. They squeezed everything out of you. And then that was it. They may be out of business. They may have said goodbye. We're going to get somebody younger. They may have done something else and you're no longer there. All that work that you gave to that company, what is left? It was all in vain. It was all in vain. You think about your work in the Lord. Nothing that you do working for the Lord is in vain. It's all for your profit and all for the glory of God. Yet sometimes Satan deceives us, and well, you gotta work here, you gotta do this, and yeah, they want you to work extra, you gotta work overtime, you gotta do this, you gotta work your evenings, you gotta work your weekends, you gotta just work yourself to death. But the Father, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. And again, you go back to these two word pictures, a father and a son. As a father, when your children were little, or even now, but you expect it more when they're little, and at home, don't you want your children to spend time with you? Sure you do, because you love them and they love you. But if they're busy doing something else and they just give you a little bit of time, they're giving you leftovers. Think about a master and servant. Think about an employer and an employee. As an employee, would your employer put up, if you called in tomorrow and you said, you know, I'm not feeling too good today, I'm going to take the day off, and they say, okay, and then you call in Tuesday and you know, I'm really not feeling good enough to come in and work, and Wednesday it's another excuse, and then Thursday, and then Friday, you know, I was going to come in today, but I just rest up and get a good start next week. Would your employer keep you? No, they aren't going to keep you because you're cheating them of time. You're cheating them of time. But do we expect God to overlook when we spend our time on ourselves and give Him the leftovers? Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. You think about Jesus Christ. He gave of His time. He gave His life. He literally gave His life and came down from heaven and died on a cross for us. And then we think that God is going to be happy if we give Him whatever leftover energy that we have. We need to strive to do all that we can in the Lord's service, because that work is going to be rewarded. It will be rewarded. Even if it's a very small thing, God is going to recognize that and take note of it. Well, what about a leftover life? Some people get the idea that religion is just for old people who are worried about dying. You know, I'll get around to being religious when I get older. I've got a long time. Some want to live their lives for themselves, enjoying the world, and then wait the last moment to turn to God. Can you think of any people like that in the Old Testament? The ones that come to my mind were Noah and the flood. He preached to them all those years, telling them to repent, and they didn't want to repent. And then the waters started coming. And what did they do? They would have been knocking on the door of the ark. Let me in, let me in. But God had shut that door. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, friends, there's a time in your life, and it's going to be different with all of us, that through a series of events and occurrences, our heart, it may have been tender at one time, but it can become hardened. It can become hardened. And then when someone talks to you about God or serving God, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in that. I have no pleasure in that. And those are sad words. Romans 12:11, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So why does he say a living sacrifice? Because under the old covenant, they offered dead sacrifices. The animal was slain. It was offered up to God. In contrast to that, we offer our lives. We offer our life as a living sacrifice. And what does he say about that? He says it's only reasonable. It's only reasonable that we offer our life to God because he gave his life for us. It's only reasonable. He's not asking us anything out of the ordinary. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. Well, people say, well, it's my body, it's my life, I'll do what I want to. Well, friends, not really. You see, God bought us. He bought us. He purchased the church with his own precious blood. And when he bought us, we belong to him. Now, it's true, we can do whatever we want. He's not going to stop us from doing whatever we want. But there are consequences for our actions. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If we give God our leftover life, he is not going to accept it. Anything less than the finest presented before God manifests. It manifests a lack of respect for who God is. God has become nothing more to us than an afterthought in the mind of one offering leftovers to him. When we give our leftovers, it shows a lack of respect for the nature of God. And it shows a lack of respect for what he says. If a father says, do this or don't do that, and they disobey, as a father, what would we do? We would discipline our child in some way. And God, he has promised, if we do what he says, he will reward us. If we disobey what he told us to do, he has promised us he will punish us. And it shows that there isn't proper consideration for what God has done for mankind. When we just give God our leftovers, we say, God, we really don't care. I really don't care that you gave your son, the most precious thing that you had, to come down and die for the sins that I committed, pay my price. I really don't care that you did that. And how do we expect God to respond? Friend, is there anybody here this morning that is giving their leftovers to God? Why do people think that they can get away with doing that? Do they think that God doesn't see or God doesn't know? Do you think that you can make it to heaven by giving God your leftovers? Do you think that the leftovers you offer to God will keep you out of hell? How about the level of service that you are offering God? Are you satisfied with what you're offering him? Is your life that cheeseburger platter with a nice juicy hamburger and hot French fries and a hot cup of coffee? Or is your life that you're offering a half-eaten cold burger and cold fries and half a cup of cold coffee? God gave us his best. He gave us his best. What have we given him? Friends, what does God want from us then? We already know, we read it. He wants our heart. He wants our whole heart. And once we give him our heart, we have given him our life. Friends, if you've not done that, you need to be obedient to the gospel, because God has explained to us what he wants us to do, and he will not accept anything less. If there's anybody here this morning that has been giving God a life of leftovers, give him your whole life. Give him your whole heart. Make him the number one priority in your life. Obey him. Obey the gospel. Live for him. Seek the kingdom first. And as Malachi said, try me and I will open the windows from heaven and give you so many blessings that you won't know what to do with them. Does that mean he's going to make us rich and wealthy and have everything fancy? No. He's going to bless us in so many ways. And then when this life is over, he's going to take us home to that place that he has prepared for his children. And like a loving father, and as his children, we can spend time with him, time without end, where there will be no pain, no sickness, no heartache. Friends, the choice is up to yours. We invite you, if you need to be obedient to the gospel invitation, to come forward now as we stand and sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus falleth.